going. This is genuine. It's a wonderful thing. And over in the fall, Ed was sharing a little bit about one of the churches that he has frequented down in sunny Florida. And this pastor does podcasts to several other churches. And we did see a series. It was part one of Better Together. And that's what I was seeing a few minutes ago. It is great. Better Together. And we're going to take a look at segment two today of the Better Forever. This pastor that presents just feels like he's got a Stutzmanville vibe in him there. It's just down to earth, and it's just good stuff. But before we begin, let's take a minute and lift up this morning to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just pray that this morning we take a look at the whole concept of unity and the strength of the body of Christ and how each and every one of us plays a part in order to serve you. And as we come together, we know that we encourage, we strengthen each other in our walk. And I just want to pray that this message just falls on our hearts today, Lord, and continue to build on this unity. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
It's couches and porches and kitchen tables. It's stories shared and moments worth remembering. It's hoping and praying and taking chances. It's laughter and tears and friends to talk to you at the end of the day. It's ears to listen and hands to help you get up when you fall. It's questions and answers and I don't knows. It's knowing you don't have to figure it out all by yourself. It's messy and imperfect. It's giving and serving and growing better together. It's life, and we weren't meant to do it alone.
Good morning, East Coast. What's up? Come on. Hey, let's welcome our Vieira, Coco, and Avenue locations. Come on, let's just welcome them today. And all together, everywhere, let's just praise Jesus one good time this morning. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, we love you, man. East Coast Christian Center, welcome. My name is Matt Stahlbaum. I'm one of the pastors here. I get the opportunity to teach here, as well as Pastor Dan. He is our lead senior pastor, and didn't he crush it last week on the Connections message for small groups? Come on, right? Three people on the front row like that. Come on, what are you going to do? Come on, cheer your pastor on. It was awesome. God is good. Well, if you've never been here before, welcome to East Coast. And we're in the middle of a new series on relationships. This is the relationships. Okay. We might talk about that later. Freudian slip. There you go. Better Together. That is the title of the message series, and it's on connection today. And to let you know, there's more than just messages on this. We've got podcasts we're recording every week. Some of the people from our church have gotten together recording podcasts. We've written devotions for every single week. People from the church body have written devotions to help you in your relationships. You can find those on the app, and you can find those online at eccc.us, as well as just look at our Facebook page. We're going to be posting stuff about this every single day and week on relationships. And before I get into the message, I just kind of wanted to share with you my heart, what I'm thinking about Better Together and relationships. I'm not just thinking about marriages and friendships. I'm thinking about East Coast Christian Center, that we would be a church that relationships are celebrated, that when you come into the front door, you're making friends, you're making connections. And that means that on our hearts, we're thinking about, like, in the lobby, who are we talking today to? Who is that new person over there? I've never met them. I've never connected with them. Could I invite them to my small group? Could I invite them out to the mall or the avenue or wherever, somewhere? Could I invite them there for a lunch today? Could I get to know them and bring them in? Because the church is more than a building, right? Vieira Campus is more than a high school, right? You know, Cocoa Campus, Avenue Worship Center, it's more than the building that you're in. It is the community. It's people. The church is people. And so could our relationships grow stronger? Do you think they could? I think they could. Could it be like a party in the lobby? Like we're fighting to get into church because we can't get through the party. We can't stop talking to our friends. That's the heartbeat. That's behind of what some of better together is. I will tell you today, though, I'm specifically talking about marriage. Talking about marriage. And the title of the message today is Connect. Connect. And I know, let me bring it down here for a second. I know that when we talk about marriage, we're going to be talking about things that maybe not everybody is in the same season. You know, my wife's parents, they got divorced when she was in first grade. And we've dealt with marriage issues for 15 years just with family and different things like that. So I know the dynamics are not always the same. We've got young people in here that are thinking, yeah, I'm going to get married when I'm super old, when I'm like 35. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm 38, going to 39, you know. But that's what I was thinking when I was young. Like, I'm never getting married till I'm old and 39 and all washed up. Like, no, you know, we're not all in the same position. And we realize that, you know, there's people that have from past relationships and all sorts of things. And so today, as we talk about marriage, I want to remind you that we're standing with you. We're walking with you through these things. We have an incredible ministries here for people in their 20s, for young adults, for singles, for people in all different walks of life. And towards the end of the message, I'm going to get into a little bit deeper on just healing in relationships, no matter where you're at. But let's go on and read the scripture today. The text that I'm reading from here that we're going to be studying, we're in Genesis chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 18 through 24. And if you want to turn there in your Bible or get your smart device out or look at the big giant digital Bible up here if you don't have those things and just kind of read along with me as we go. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman. He brought her to the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man.' Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And if you're taking notes today, I want you to circle this word "joined" or underline it or just kind of jot that down, because this is really the scripture in this text that we're going to be focused on. That a man shall leave his father and mother, and say this with me, and be joined, try that again, and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Let's pray. God, we come to you today, and we know, Lord, we're all in different walks of life. And God, I pray that you give me the words to say, but even more than that, your spirit is here with each one of us, God. And you can empower us in whatever stage, season, or phase of life that we're in, God. And you can speak to our hearts today. You can bring us the words of truth that will truly transform us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, this year I got a chance to go to California and meet a couple friends of mine, and it was awesome, man. I met a buddy of mine flew from Chicago, and I met a friend that used to live here in Florida who moved to LA, and I left Florida, met three buddies that I grew up with at the mezzanine. We were all buddies in our 20s here. The mezzanine, in case you don't know, is our young adult ministry here at East Coast Christian Center. Can I hear it? Some mezzanine people? Come on. Yes. They're going to be meeting on Sunday night, tonight at 7 o'clock at the Parkway. It's going to be off the chain. You got to be here. I really don't think there's not many other places in Brevard or even Orlando where you can run into 100 to 200 20-somethings that love Jesus. Come on, that are running together for him. That's happening today. And the relationships that are formed there, they last. And that's what one of these was, man. I connected with these guys in my 20s, and here I am in my late 30s. I'm meeting them out there. And L.A. is awesome. You can be at the beach, and then 2 hours, you're skiing. And that's what we did. We hung out there, and then we went skiing for a bit. We come back to the beach, and we go to Venice Beach, where, you know, Muscle Beach, you know, where they do all the, you know, the working out and all that stuff. They can do that in California year-round because it's not 4,000 degrees and humidity. You know, Florida, it would just look ridiculous. Everybody's be pouring with sweat and dying of dehydration. But there, it kind of works out. So they do that there. And there's a place called the Santa Monica Pier. Take a look at this pier. It's an incredible pier. And it is basically this massive pier. If you've never been there, you can drive out on the pier and park on it. They've got a huge, like, carnival there. And it's all, you know, roller coasters and Ferris wheels and rides. None of which I would ever do because I would get ill because I get motion sickness very easily. But it's got this really nice restaurant, you know, area at the end you walk out to. And as I'm going there, I see they're doing construction on the site. And they're taking these giant beams and they're cutting them out. But they've got to remove nails from where those beams were set into place. You know, it's about a 9-inch long nail. And they've got this really big piece of equipment with a bucket on the end of it and like a chain and a hook. And it's kind of like a hammer almost where it's a claw that's popping these nails out. And a guy would kind of guide it to the nail and pop it out and guide it to the nail and pop it out. And so I was like, man, I want one of those nails. You know, that would be a really cool thing to kind of just take home. You know, for whatever reason, I kind of like that sort of stuff to kind of keep the little mementos from different, you know, vacations. And so I was like, hey, buddy, you know, could I have a couple of those nails? And, you know, in typical, like, union worker sort of construction bravado, he's just like, nah, man, I'm sorry. You're going to have to talk to my supervisor. You can't have these, and just chucks them in the big container that I couldn't get into. And if you notice, I got one somehow, right? You know what I'm saying? I figured this thing out. I'm like, how am I going to get this nail? You know, like, I don't give up easily. It's just not in my DNA, you know. And so I'm like, how am I going to get this nail? So I sat back in sort of that, like, you know, spy position where I can analyze the situation. And I'm thinking, could I climb in? No, it's like this high. You know, can I just reach over the top and grab one off the top? No, all it was on the bottom. So as I'm watching, I'm hanging out. He just takes, you know, 5 or 6 nails and chucks them, and a couple of them hit the top and bounced off the side. And I look at him, I look at the nails, and I just like, thank you very much. And I just started moving, you know. I got out of there, and I got 2 nails. I gave one to my buddy, Jake Kaufman. You remember Jake Kaufman? Yes, one of the guys I was talking about connecting with. He used to work here at the church, did a lot of our graphics. Awesome guy. I gave one to Jake, and he's like, what is this, bro? And I'm like, dude, you could maybe sell this on eBay. Come on, this is like Santa Monica Pier, where all the movies are filmed. He's like, oh, okay, you know, but why do I share this with you? You know, why do I share that story with you? Because when I look in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, I come across the word joined, and I see this word, and I want to know what this means, you know? Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. You see, this nail was joining things together, big pieces of wood to other support beams. And it was a place where people could go and stand on. In fact, if you've ever seen like anything filmed in LA where there's a pier, it's probably at that pier. If you've ever watched NCIS Los Angeles, you know, that's where they're at. Venice Beach, Santa Monica Pier. That's the place. And I thought, man, this nail has been supporting people walking on this pier for 40 years. They're removing it. They're going to have to put another one in its place. And what it's doing is it's joining two things together to be stronger for something to sit on top of. An amazing pier with fun. And can you imagine how many people got engaged on that pier over the last 40 years, or met friends on that pier, or went out to lunch, or celebrated an anniversary, or just hung out? You know, how many movies were filmed there, and all of that stuff, right? How many families went there for a fun day, watched the surfers, watched the whales, or whatever, right? All because there was something joining them together. Without these nails to join everything together, people couldn't walk out on the pier. And so when I look at this, I go, what does it mean to be joined together? And the word is debak in the Hebrew. See, Genesis was written in Hebrew. It's the first book of the Bible. And Genesis is the story of the beginning. It's where we get our creation theology, where we believe God created the heavens and the earth, that this place wasn't just by accident, but it was on purpose. We believe God inspired it. And it's also the place where we get the picture of marriage. At the very beginning, what did God intend marriage to be? We find that right here in Genesis chapter 2. And God says, let a man leave his father and mother, be joined together to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. The two become one, so much one where Adam says, look, she is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. No longer could you separate us. There's not two anymore. There's just one. And if you look, Eve was actually taken out of Adam. It was a rib, and God built around that rib a woman. They were one. They were actually one, legitimately one. What does it mean to be joined? Well, the word in Hebrew that I mentioned was the word debak. And here are some of the definitions of the word debak. Debak means to be joined, to be united, to be glued. But the Hebrew language isn't just like a language where they use words simply to define something. The Hebrew words are typically very pictorial in nature. And they use analogies and different things in life to kind of define the word. And so another sort of subtext or sublayer of meaning there, where the picture is the word actually is cooked together, cooked. And I really like that idea for marriage. I think that's a beautiful picture of marriage, because when I think about cooking, I think about when you put ingredients together. Like, my mom's Italian, so she would always cook marinara sauce, you know. She would cook that, you know, gravy. That's what a lot of Italians call it. And you'd get the tomatoes and the tomato paste and the water and the sugar and the basil and the salt and the red pepper flakes, right? And the oregano, and you'd mix that together and you'd create this amazing sauce. And the thing that you can't do when this sauce has been cooking all day, and maybe it's even put in the refrigerator, and the next day it's heated up again, and the flavors are just literally perfect. The one thing you can't do is you can't separate the flavors anymore, can you? You can't say, I'll take that marinara sauce, hold the garlic. No, it's in there. It's been cooked in. And really, that's God's intention for marriage, that when you're married, you're literally cooked and glued together in a way that you can't now separate anymore. Your strengths and your weaknesses, your past, your present, it's all put together. Your personality, your soul, your heart, it's all woven together. And you know, the longer you cook it, right? The longer you cook marriage, the closer you can actually get together, and the deeper those relationships can be. And remember, this is God's heart, the initial pure form of marriage. Because I do realize, you know, in the Bible, marriage is addressed at all different times and all different phases. And Jesus addressed marriage during a very difficult time in the Roman era. Paul addressed marriage to the Corinthians, where it was very chaotic. And in Ephesians, where it's very chaotic culture. And they didn't respect marriage. And so I realize there's a lot of baggage here. But we want to look at the very pure form and heart of marriage, what God intended it to be. You know, another part of this definition, used rarely, but used in Job chapter 41, joined is used as a picture to describe the mouth of a creature called Leviathan, which would be very similar to like an alligator. Very, very powerful jaws. You know, an alligator's jaws are about 10,000 pounds of pressure per square inch, something like that. I'm not a zoologist, so if I'm wrong, you know, whatever. But I'm not wrong in the fact that Floridians know we don't put our hands near alligators' mouths, right? They want to take us out. We don't go in lakes. We don't swim in those things because there's probably an alligator in there. It's going to bite your toe, right? And it won't let go. You can hold an alligator's mouth shut, but you can't open it, right? So the strength of being joined is this picture that you cannot separate. You cannot open with human strength this type of joining. I had a dog growing up. His name was Duke. And Duke was an awesome dog. He was he was part pit bull, part something else. We don't know what he was, but he had a big, powerful jaw. You know, and he would oftentimes prove his jaw strength by stealing stuff out of the garbage can when you're cooking. And you try to get it out of his mouth, but guess what? You just couldn't get it out of his mouth. And one day, I'm chopping fish with my buddy Shannon, and we're doing this, and we're throwing fish in the garbage can, and Duke gets this big old piece of bony fish. And we're like, no, Duke, no, come on, Duke, you know, and we're like, we're working his mouth, and we're prying his mouth, and we're trying to get this piece of fish out of his mouth, because we didn't want him to swallow the bones, you know, whatever. We're like scared and nervous, and we're pulling on this fish, and pulling on the dog, to no avail. Every chance he got, he just, you know, just kind of sucked that fish down his mouth a little bit more, just, you know, it never came out. He ate the fish. It was done. He was okay, guys, come on. Duke was we call him Duke the Wonder Dog. One time he ate an entire couch cushion, okay? And I'm not kidding. He literally pooped foam for weeks. For weeks. He one time ate all of my dad farms a lot, so he had all these melons out in the yard. He ate every single baby melon off of my dad's big garden, you know? He one time ate a hole in the wall. He like would claw and eat the drywall. So he was okay. He survived. He lived a long time. But the picture of joined is the power and the strength of marriage, that no human hands can separate it, that it's strong. That's the way God views marriage. That's the way that God sees it. Another picture of marriage with this word debach, and is a very small percentage, only about 2% of the time, the word is pursue, to pursue. And I do love that picture as well. Because we know that with marriage, there is the wedding ceremony that we could spend a ton of money on, a ton of money on. Thank you, Pastor Brian. A ton of money on, but are we pursuing when the wedding ceremony is over and the marriage begins? The marriage begins. And so there's this pursuit that is also wrapped up in this definition of being joined. It's in there. It's in the original tent of what God wanted it to be. And I think about the word pursuit similar to the word revive or revival in terms of relationships. Could we and should we have a reviving of our marriage? A reviving of our relationships, a reviving of our friendships, a reviving in terms of new life breathed every single day. Fresh life, right? His mercy is new every day. You know, we got a long day, we get tired by the end of the day. Every morning's a new day for new opportunity, for new life and new pursuit. And so we would say this, and we'd ask kind of this question is, how do you actually pursue and walk out in the joining together? Because I see, you know, marriage is like two people coming together. You've got the husband and the wife, and they're very different. And they come together, and they're trying to join together. And they're connecting two lives that are totally different, with different backgrounds and different parents. And maybe one of them didn't really have parents in their life. They came from an adopted situation, or grandmother raised them or whatever, and they're coming together with two different histories, and they're trying to join together, and when they do, something happens. What's happening here? What's inside comes out. What's inside comes out, and they join together, and boom. Honey, will you please pick up your dirty clothes and your stinky underwear off the floor? For the 100th time, I've told you this, right? And, you know, it's like, and they join together. Honey, seriously, we're having, you know, white fish and white potatoes and white rice again. You know, like, what's going on here? Like, can we add some, like, basil or something, like, green to this situation? Or, you know, and we're joining together, and it's getting messy, and words are said, and decisions are made, and frustrations come in, and you're not connecting. See, the connection isn't on the outside. The connection's got to be on the inside. And so what does it take on the inside to make a marriage strong? To join together, to support what God believes about marriage? What is it? Well, the first thing I'd like to bring up to join together is this word, commitment. It's this word commitment. What do I mean by commitment? See, commitment is not a popular word in our culture. It's just not. What's popular in our culture? Individual rights, freedom, mobility. And you think about this in the workplace, you know, most of us are not thinking, how do I get my boss promoted and get my boss a raise? We're thinking, how do I get a raise and how do I get promoted? And surely, if some of you are thinking that way, most of us are never going to think, how do I get my coworker a raise and promoted? No, we're thinking about, how am I going to get promoted? On social media, very rarely are we thinking, man, I'm just trying to get my boy some extra likes so he can be extra more popular and be have more friends, and so that, you know, they can like his pictures more. What are we thinking? No, I'm going to put my picture on there and I'm going to get more likes. We're thinking about ourselves, right? It's very normal and it's very American because we love our freedoms. Our nation was built on freedom. It's not a bad thing necessarily, but let me tell you, it's a bad thing to bring into a marriage. What you must bring into the marriage is a commitment to the other person's rights and freedoms, to their needs above your needs, to put them first. Commitment means putting your spouse's needs before all others, including yourself. Now, I'll give you a quick warning. This can be abused. And I would say if you're in a relationship where abuse is happening, where you don't have rights necessarily, I would tell you right now you need to get help today. You need to talk to a counselor, talk to one of the pastors here today, call the authorities, and you need we need to help you and get you fixed. That situation needs to get fixed ASAP. And I would also say a warning to those maybe that are on the abusive side. You know, do you realize that if you keep taking a bite out of that other person constantly, taking a bite, eventually there will be nothing left in that relationship. And I know this is a heavy thing, but we have to understand that it's two people coming together, not giving my half to your half, my 50% plus your 50%. No, it's me coming into the relationship, giving my 100% devotion to that other person, to put them first, to make them a priority, to make them a priority, put them number one. You know, it says here, and let's look at Genesis 2:24 again. Let's say it's, and the Lord God said, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. To join together, you must leave father and mother. And this is a very interesting word. And simply it means to actually just kind of leave. You know, it means like, okay, goodbye. You know, it's a very simple word in some aspects. It's not like, I'm out of here, mom. I'm out of here, dad. I don't want to talk to you again. No, it's just, I'm leaving. Goodbye. Goodbye, I love you. You know, that kind of thing. But the picture of the word there is actually to loosen the binds. Do you remember the other word was to join together that couldn't be separated? This word means to loosen the binds. And it's this word in Hebrew, azav, or azab. It's actually spelled A-Z-A-B, but it's pronounced azav. This word is connected to that simple thought to loosen. Think about that picture a little bit. You're real tight with your mom and dad and your family or, you know, those that raised you, but you need to, at some point, loosen up those connections. They kind of move away a little bit, and you have to step out on your own and connect to your spouse and loosen your relationship with your children. Because, look, this is priority. Your spouse needs to have priority above friends. There shouldn't be outside friends coming into a relationship that supersede your marriage. Your parents can't supersede the marriage. Your cell phone can't supersede the marriage. Come on, cell phone, right? You can't supersede. Your children can't even supersede the marriage. Why is that important? Because your children are only bound to you. They're not glued to you. They're not, you're not cooked together with your children. Because guess what? One day, the hope is, your children will eventually leave. Come on. You know what I'm saying? It's hard when they're 13. It's hard when they're 6. You're thinking, no, I love you so much. But guess what? They're going to one day, they're going to loosen that connection, and they're going to go and connect. They're going to be bound together and glued to somebody. And so when you want a beautiful marriage, when your kids leave, you got to be glued together now. We do simple practical things like our kids, and this is how we've kind of done it. Our kids have never been allowed to sleep in our bedroom, ever. I mean, and you can do that if you want, but this is just one way that you can do that. If you like your child headbutting you in the nose in the middle of the night, by all means, please let your three-year-old sleep with you in the bed. But, and that's happened plenty of times because we sometimes in hotels had to do that. But the point is, this is a sacred place. This is where me and your mom connect. And do you know what? Our kids, they might complain about it sometimes. I want to sleep with you, mom and dad, but they love it. They love that their parents love each other. And there's a special place that they can't be. And there's actually more security in a child's life when they realize that mom and dad are more important to each other than even the kids. There's a security there. Now, the kids are important too, but they're just not the priority over the marriage. So, in order to do that, we first say you've got to commit. But what are we committing to? Genesis 2:18 says this, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." The heartbeat of God is, I've got a man and I've got a woman, and they're comparable to each other. They are comparable. They have value. They're, you know, your wife isn't there some subservient person to you, and your husband is not just some idiot that you can tell what to do, right? No, you're equal. You're in submission to God together. Submit to one another, the Bible says. You can submit to your husband under God. You are in submission to, means to be in mission together. It means to be in mission together. And so you are equal. You are connected. And let me tell you how this works. My wife is better at certain things than I am. She's got strengths that I don't have. And guess what? I have strengths that she doesn't have. It's okay. I've got plenty of weaknesses. She's got weaknesses. We've got strengths. We work together. And the beauty of marriage is as you're cooking together, it takes time to learn to ebb and flow, to figure out who's better at what. Who's in charge of this? Who's in charge of that? Who can take care of this? Who can take care of that? That's what it means for two to come together that are comparable to each other. You know, in my yard, I've got this giant tree, and it's a big palm tree. It's at least 20 feet in the air. And sometimes my kids knock the soccer ball up into the top of the tree, and there's no way to get it out. You can't throw a ball up there, or else the other ball will just stay up there, right? So what do we do? Oh, I don't have any 20-foot poles. I've got a couple 1x10s that I get out of the garage that I've now taught my oldest how to do. I connect the two together, and we take a 20-foot pole, and we put it up in the tree, and we knock the ball down. Separately, we're reaching 10 feet, but together we're reaching 20 feet. And this is not to say that being single, you're not as strong as when you're married. This is more to say that marriage can be a step forward. It doesn't have to be a step backwards. It can be, and God wants it to be a step forward, that you are powerful together, that you are better together. The Bible says throughout different places that it's better to be single. And sometimes it is. And I'll tell you this, it's really this simple. If you're single or if you're married, you've got the same Holy Spirit to empower you to do whatever God has set forth you to do for today. You're not any weaker. It's not a comparison thing. You've got the same power of the Holy Spirit to go through that. And so the next thing I want to say, and this is a very simple point, that when you're married, you're going to go through times where you're not in agreement and where one person says, hey, will you take care of this? Will you change this? Or you're going to think it. You're at least going to think it. And sometimes you ask the person, and they say, yeah, I'll take care of it, and they don't. They forget. The underwear's still on the floor, you know, like, still happening. Or maybe they flat out tell you, no, I don't want to change that. This is who I am. What do you do in that situation? Well, the temptation there is to muster up, you know, manipulation and anger and nagging and badgering and bullying and like withholding and all these things. You're wrestling with this person to change. And I got to tell you, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Here's the next thing you need, is you need patience. 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 You need patience. Can I get a witness? We got to be patient with technology. It doesn't always work when they're pushing that button up there. It doesn't always work, right? We need patience. What a great example for this sermon today. We'll move on. So, with patience comes this very special thing. Ta-da! There it is. This very special thing called prayer. Taking those things to the Lord and letting God work those things out. And sometimes he's going to work them out in your spouse. But guess what? Sometimes he's going to work them out in you. You're going to change. So, how do we actually get connected? I want to show you a way that you can apply to your life today as a married couple to get connected. And if you do this for 100 days, it's going to change your marriage. We're going to do our best to get this information on our Facebook page today or tomorrow if you kind of get lost in the explanation of it, to get it out there so that you can have more information on how to do this. But I want to show you by video, me and my wife, we did this last night, and it's something that we did for actually 1 year when we first got married. Check this example out. I want to show you what we've done and what we actually did when we first got married. Come closer. Don't be scared. Don't trip over the thing. All right, we're going to do what we call. Don't get that close.
Okay.
I'll give you a kiss or something. Okay. We're going to do something called the 100-Day Intimacy Challenge, okay? And this is sharing your thoughts and your emotions with that other person. This comes from Dr. Doug Weiss, and it's a 100-day challenge that you do every night before you go to bed as a married couple. And what you do is you answer two questions. The first question is, when was the first time you felt this way? And the second thing you answer is, I feel this way when? A couple rules, and so here's what you do. You give this person an emotion. So do you want to give me an emotion?
Yes, I will give you anxious.
Anxious, all right, perfect. And so she says anxious to me, and when I answer her, I have a few things that I need to do. One is I need to look her in the eyes. The next thing I need to do is, this can't be about her, and she can't criticize what I say. Her job is to listen. She can ask questions for clarity, but she can't criticize, because this is an opportunity to be open with one another. So what I say is, the first time I felt anxious. So I think a bit. It might take 30 seconds. It could take a minute. It might take 5 seconds. But the first time that I felt anxious, I believe I was 7 or 8 years old, and I was getting swimming lessons. And I just remember being so nervous and so scared to get in the water. And I was sitting there on the side of the pool, and it was like, it had like a metal, like flat metal edge around this pool. I don't think that's a good idea, but it had like this metal edge. And I remember sitting on that, feeling more comfortable burning my legs than getting in the water. That's the first time I felt anxious.
Thank you for sharing.
All right, I'll give you one. Annoyed. This can't be about me.
I know. The first time. It really does take a while sometimes to really think back, because you're thinking like, was I 2? Was I 3? What was the first time? Was that really the first time? I really do think the first time I remember feeling annoyed was when I continually left my stuff at my mom's house. So my dad, for those who don't know, my parents are divorced, and from a really young age, I went back and forth, Monday, Tuesday with my dad, Wednesday, Thursday with my mom, and I would leave my stuff all the time. I only had, you know, one set of school stuff and one set of everything, and I would leave it there, and then I just remember feeling annoyed that I had to be, like, at 8 o'clock, Mom, my homework's at Dad's, and then they'd have to work it out, and we'd have to meet at the gas station and exchange the stuff and all that stuff, so that was annoying.
Yeah, it's so... making a comment on this, as you see, we talk about things doing this that are maybe a little deeper. than what you just talk about on an everyday basis. She talked about her parents being divorced and going back and forth. That's perfect. That's what's supposed to happen when you do this. So the next one is, I feel this way when, or I feel, and I'll just say happy. I feel happy when. What?
Okay. I feel happy when I can check off my entire to-do list in one day for that day.
That's awesome.
Okay. Your emotion, excited.
Excited. Some people are giggling right now. I don't know what's going on. Can't be about you.
Cannot be about me.
Okay. I feel excited when, like, say, I gotta look you in the eyes. I feel very excited when something that we've maybe worked for, like it could be a little vacation or something like that, is about to happen. And it's like, oh, we're going to go to Disney, or we're going to go on a cruise or something like that. That makes me very excited.
But it would never be Disney for you.
No.
Never.
Never Disney.
That's right.
Let's give Jessica a hand. Yeah. All right. So, again, take the 100-day challenge. You can do that every single night for 100 days. And I would add to that, I mentioned this in the patience part, is pray together every night for 100 days. And this really takes us down to just the closing thought, is what's inside is what really matters, right? And the third thing that I want to bring in here, you got to be connected to Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, Genesis 2, God brings a picture of perfect marriage to two people that had a perfect past and a perfect present. But we realize that in today's age, that is not the case. When we talk about marriage, it's not a perfect past. There's old baggage there. There's wounds, and there's things that people have gone through. So how do we take this message and put it into our lives today? Well, the Bible says that if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The old ways have passed away. It's not the old ways. It's that old man. It's that old woman is gone, and the new creation is there right now. And I can't help but to think, honestly, when I think about the nails, I can't help but think about the nails in Jesus' hands and in feet, and in his feet when he was nailed to the cross for our sins. He died on that cross. He was buried in the ground, and he rose 3 days later, and he ascended to heaven so that he could connect us to the Heavenly Father, and God could bring new life into us. Let's look at this 2 Corinthians 5:17 in the Amplified Version. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is, he is grafted in, he is joined to him by faith in him as a Savior, he is a new creation, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit, that the old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition, have passed away. Behold, new things have come, because spiritual awakening brings a new life. You want to join together in your marriage? You've got to join yourself to Jesus Christ. You want to have revival in your relationships? You want to have revival in the relationships in this church, in our community? As you walk out there, it comes from joining yourself to Jesus Christ. Joining yourself to Jesus, who connects you to the Father. He has plans. He has purpose for your life. He wants to empower you. You know, being alone, you're not alone when you have Jesus Christ. You've got the Heavenly Father, the power of the Holy Spirit working with you every single day, no matter what stage, what phase, no matter what's in the past, no matter what you've been addicted to and what baggage you brought in or out of a marriage, it doesn't matter. You've got the presence and the power of God right here, right now. And I just want to do two things. I want to pray for two different types of people today. One is somebody that says, I need a revival in relationships. I've got some old things that need to get out, and I need some new spirit, new fresh. The Bible says that his mercy is new every day. That behold, he can do a new thing. He can do that right now. And the second group is those that would say, I want to give my life to Christ. So if you would bow your heads with me as we pray. And if you know that's you, when you're like, man, I need a revival in my relationships. I need something fresh and something new right now, today. God is breathing fresh. He's breathing new. I just want you to commit your hand up in the air and say, that's me. Everywhere at Coco, Vieira, everywhere, Avenue, just lift your hands in the air all across this room. And if you want to give your life to Christ, if you say, man, I want to follow Jesus. I want to give my life to Him. I just want you to be bold and say, that's me. Put your hand right up in the air. Come on, hands are going up. Coco, Vieira, the Avenue, hands are going up. Come on. Say, your campus pastor's watching if you're in Vieira or Coco. They're looking. Put your hand in the air. Follow Jesus today. Come on, let's pray together. Father, we come to you now, and we just trust you, Lord, for a new mercy today. A fresh wind, fire blowing on relationships, God, that you would restore what the enemy has stolen. Bring new things, God. Where our soul has run in five different directions, Lord, we would come back to you in our soul today. We would follow you today. Heal, deliver. These are all things that Jesus paid for on the cross. They're freely given, always available. Lord, we just want to walk in those today. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we just come to you for those that want to give their life to Christ. Would you just repeat after me? Would you say, God, I give you my life. I ask for forgiveness for all of my sins. I believe in Jesus. He connected to the cross so that I could be connected to you. I give my life to you now. In Jesus' name. If you agree with that prayer, just say amen. Amen. Come on, let's give God praise today. Campus pastor, would you come on up now?